I first met Bob Weber as a student at Wheaton College. Bob had ironically assumed the Bible position that had been vacated by my father, Harold Lindzel. While I never had any courses with Bob, my future wife, Stephanie, she did, and she told of the deep influence that Bob had on her and her many friends. For 22 years, Bob taught at Wheaton College, leaving a lasting legacy for generations of students. At one point in my relationship with Stephanie, we were engaged, but we weren't sure whether we should get married, you know, that kind of cold feet you get. We went to Bob for advice. After an informal evening together, he kind of told us, again in that impish way, just get married. We did, and here we are after 34 years. Little did we know that some 30 years later, Bob would offer the marriage homily at both of our daughters' weddings. Bob has counseled many of us in this room tonight in so many ways, and it was certainly one of his gifts. After a few years of marriage, Stephanie and I stopped in Wheaton to visit Bob, where he was raising his children alone. This time, we were the counselors, as Bob told us his story and shared his heart. As always, Bob was very straightforward, and he told us what he needed. I need a wife. And not just any wife, mind you. She needed to have this and this and this. I will spare you the details. When he finished his list, I quietly told him that I knew of such a woman who met his lengthy criteria, my sister Joanne. Bob, not being particularly shy, contacted my sister within the week. True story. And the rest is, as they say, history. Bob, as we all know, had a wonderful sense of humor. And one time, shortly after he was married to Joanne, he teased my father by saying, Harold, I took your job, I took your daughter, and when you die, I'm going to take your money. I don't think my dad really liked the joke. Bob was a wonderful husband, father, and granddad. I'm going to share a few reflective quotes from family members I think that best sums up this aspect of Bob. Jeremy, Joanne's son, shared this. I think Bob's sense of humor defined him best. He always found a way to laugh, often at himself, and had a quick wit mixed with sarcasm that put everyone at ease. Few people were easier to meet for the first time. It's hard to remember if Bob ever had a bad mood. He always just seemed to move on. From John, Bob's son, my dad liked doing big things. And we know that as here at IWS, this is a big thing. When I was 12 years old, he told me that we were going to take a bike trip. To where, I asked. To Pennsylvania, he said. I realized he was serious and prepared to take the 500-mile bike ride. We slept in graveyards, in ditches, and rode 100 miles a day. It's something I'll always fondly remember. Bob's daughter, Stephanie, related the following. When I was 18 and told my dad's favorite Jeep Laredo, he said to me, it's okay, Steph. You can replace a car. You can't replace a daughter. That's just the kind of dad he was. Consistently affirming, compassionate, and grounded. He had an effortless calm to his nature that made him so easy to be with. He was an amazing granddad to my kids, silly and affectionate, and always proud of them, and they knew it. Bob's 7-year-old grandson Jack said, my granddad was one of the best things in my life. I loved granddad, and granddad loved me. He was more like a super friend to me. Daughter Lexi said, my dad was gracious beyond measure. He embodied what I like to call true hospitality. By this, I mean not simply a matter of inviting people into his home. Instead of it was more of an at-homeness within himself that he brought to every interaction, whether it be with a higher-up or with the baggage boy at the supermarket. He had an ease about him that effortlessly translated into making people feel good about themselves. He was truly hospitable. It could only be through God's grace that he was born this way, lived this way, and died this way. He is a blessed soul indeed. And finally, Joanne said, Bob was quite simply the love of my life. We always agreed that if space and time separated us, our hearts and spirits would be united forever. Two hearts, two souls, one love. I feel him with me even now. Having heard the words of those who knew him and loved him best, I think reminds each of us why we loved Bob and why we admired him. The Institute for Worship Studies was one of Bob's greatest loves. Bob founded the school to help form servant leaders who would then go on out and help others find and worship God through theologically sound worship. Eventually, Bob called on me to join the board and lend my experience in management of nonprofits to the fledgling institution. And so once again, we became IWS colleagues. So here we are today, remembering Bob and how God chose to use him in service to his kingdom. Founder, mentor, teacher, friend to all, and most importantly, man of God. He made us better people for having known him. In one of his recent emails to us, he wrote about living between two realities. And I quote, "We, Joanne and Bob, live and pray one day at a time. We pray each day and say, thank you, God, for the healing you gave me today. Please heal me tomorrow." It has occurred to both of us that if we were truly spiritually sensitive, we would have prayed that way all of our lives. But it took the threat of imminent death to bring us to this point. Bob then quoted Evelyn Underhill about the notion of living between two realities. "Our favorite distinction between spiritual life and the practical life is false. We cannot divide them. One affects the other all the time. For we are creatures of sense and of spirit, and we must live an amphibious life." That's the end quote. What a great, great concept. We must live an amphibious life. Always the teacher, he left us with wise words on how we can navigate living between two realities. We need to live one day at a time with thanksgiving to God for sustaining us, praying that he will sustain us tomorrow. So Bob, our dear friend and brother in Christ, is no longer living between two realities. He has passed on to the eternal reality. While we miss Bob now, we all know that one day we will sit together at the supper table of the Lamb, celebrating the only reality that matters, our eternal life in Christ. Amen.